An incredible story, incident at Fort Benning. This is the second story we've had about an incident like this at Fort Benning. John Vasquez is our guest, and he's written a book called Incident at Fort Benning. And it happened in the 70s, right?
Yes, sir, 77.
And what time of year?
September 2nd, 1977.
And you just started your second 8 weeks infantry training.
No, it's our first day at Fort Benning.
Okay, but you had already been through basic training before that.
I already have.
Yeah, right. This was the second 8 weeks, the infantry training.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you blacked out when we left. What happened next?
Well, what happened next is I slowly started to remember things back in April 1989.
So you don't know what happened next? You don't remember waking up in an infirmary?
No. What happened is that...
Do you remember staying in that place for 8 weeks or 6 weeks or however long the training was?
Yes, sir. I was there for a while, yes, sir. It's just that what happened to us after I passed out is the memory came back slowly, not all of a sudden, but as the memory goes, I remember that there was someone standing on my left, another one to my right, and there was sort of a cover over my body. And both of them were telling me to keep my eyes closed, no matter what.
Do you think these were medics?
I you know, all I can say is that they were talking to me, and I wasn't saying anything to them, except that I did say something to
but
them.
But how long was it before you even remembered something like this happened? As far as you're concerned, the next morning, you were back training, and you thought nothing of this and didn't remember anything for a long time, is that correct?
Well, yeah, that's what happened is that after this incident, this thing that, whatever it was that took us into this craft, whatever, we went through all kinds of physicals.
So you remember later that you were abducted?
Well, yeah, because back in April 89, I had a nightmarish dream, and what happened is I seen this blurry face, and I don't know what that was. And the next morning, I focused on this blurry face, and it was my buddy who was standing in formation with me, and he was saying, John, you know. And I was surprised to see his face, and I said, hey, I remember this guy's face. And slowly but gradually, I started to focus on everything that was going on.
Were you out of the service by then?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and I mean, all this flood of memory didn't happen right away. It took time and try to look into things and what else I need to find out about this.
What is the best reconstruction of this event that you put together? I mean, the best idea of what you think happened next.
Well, I got two things. One, of course, the word is not to be used in the military because they don't seem to agree with that. This word called test. It's actually called an exercise. So I believe at two things. One is that we went through a hallucinogenic test because it was after dinner and it could have been in the food that all of us hallucinated something. And the next one is definitely we did, all of us did see something in the sky.
So my first thought when I heard about this originally was perhaps this was some sort of a mind control operation in training for you people, and they were in this group, the 1,300 men, more or less. But you've come to the conclusion that it's more than that. It was actually extraterrestrial, or am I putting words in your mouth?
Well, again, you know, I'm looking at two avenues right here. One could have been, like you said, exercise.
An exercise to see how people would behave.
Right, how they would react and what would.
What kind of unit was this? Was this a normal infantry unit, or was this a specialized force?
Normal infantry.
Okay.
And, you know, we were just starting, and we were ready for this training course. And
yeah, The Army is certainly capable of playing games with you, but...
I heard that they could drop anything on us at any time, anywhere.
But you, I sense that you really think this is something else.
Well, and that's the thing that I'm also looking at. We saw something in the sky, and, I'm looking at this very carefully on everything I'm trying to find about what was going on in September of 1977. And my book has a lot of things in there, and I saw, about basically what was going on that was very special at that time. And there was an exercise called JAWS. It's an acronym for Joint Attack Weapon System. And Secretary of the Army Clifford Alexander was present in the month of September. He had a press interview. And this exercise was going on airplane. Now, I looked into that, and I know that you know what A-10 is all about.
It's a low-flying, slow craft, a warthog.
Yes, sir. Tank killer. And, I looked at this, and I asked the Inspector General's office concerning this A-10 airplane and also possible UFO, and also there was another story in the same month that there was a measles outbreak strike post troops, and that was the headline. They were talking about us. And this measles outbreak was German measles. And I asked the Inspector General about this concerning these three items, and they responded with a letter stating that these things that you asked is not true.
Well, now, I was in the Army, and especially in that second 8 weeks of training, and even to a certain degree basic training the first 8 weeks, you develop friendships with other soldiers, and some of them you stay in touch with. Did you stay in touch with some of the troops?
Well, we're getting way ahead with the story, but I'll tell you what happened at the end of the week, which is the last week of September. We had this female lieutenant come around our post.
Really, a female? The Army's changed. When I was in the 60s in the Army, I'd like to have seen a woman, even if she were a lieutenant.
And it was a surprise to all of us. We didn't know who she was and what was she doing here. And then she wasn't alone. She was with six other drill sergeants that we never seen before. Mm-hmm. These guys were like ex-football players.
Yeah, top troops.
6'7", 6'8", big guys. And, we're all talking about this and we didn't know who she was and what she was doing around
so
here.
So what was she doing there?
Well, we got the word within, 2 days? Some of the guys found out what she was all about, and they were saying she was a psychiatrist.
Okay.
And, I told myself, no, I'm not going to be talking to her. No way. I got nothing to say to her. And so the rest of the people, the rest of the guys were saying the same thing, No, that's nothing here that we need to talk to her about. So, one day, I was watching TV at the TV room, and then I wanted to walk outside for a while. So I was just coming down the stairway from this building that was in where the TV is, and I noticed one of my buddies was walking in and walking with her. And normally he would have came up to me and said, "Hey, John, what's going on? What's happening?" One of those kind of discussions. She just turned around to him and she just looked at him and like she's telling him like get lost. So he just turned around and walked away from me. And I go, "Wait a minute, that's not." Why did he do that for? I was telling myself, what's going on here? And she started walking up the stairway, and so I saluted. She saluted. And next thing what she did was odd, too. She just pulled my left hand to herself, and I heard her say, "I'm going to hate myself for doing this." And I felt a sharp pain on my hand, like something was jabbed in there. And I was under drug-induced hypnosis. And she was asking me all kinds of questions about what happened that night to all of us. And when she was finished asking all the things, even private things, you tell me I was going to forget everything I asked you, everything that you know. And how she did that was also painful. She put her left finger on my left temple and her right finger on my right temple, and she just pressed it real hard. And I was under hypnosis, and also drug-induced hypnosis. So I felt this pain, and she was telling me, you're going to forget everything.
And you did not remember any of this till later.
I didn't remember this until April 1989. All this was...
You don't remember her name, do you?
Under hypnosis, I remember her name was Richardson.
Did you try to find out if there's a lieutenant?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, we did. And she never returned my message at all, my phone call.
Okay, your other buddies... And similar things happened to them?
I believe it did, because I wasn't the only one who was there. I mean, they had to have something happen to them, too. And she worked individually, one by one, I'm sure of it. Or maybe by groups, who knows. She was good. She was really, really, really good. I mean, she was a psychiatrist.
Okay, let's get back to your search. You're still looking for people that were in that unit, right?
Oh, yeah, and I found my captain also. Captain Keel.
The captain that was asleep?
Yeah, behind the podium.
Yeah.
Yeah, I found him.
What did he have to say?
I asked him. He lives in Phoenix, Alabama. Phoenix City, Alabama.
Yes, uh-huh.
He just, you know, I asked him, you know, a bunch of questions about this, and I asked him about the formation, and also about what happened to us, and, you know, he gave me almost like a history. Brief history of what he'd done, that he went to West Point, went to Vietnam, came back to the state, went to several other, forts,
mm-hmm.
Ended up at Fort Benning, and, you know, I asked him, fine, then you must remember this also, two down choppers report that I found at Fort Rutgers, Alabama. Then he has to remember, one of them was on fire. And I asked him, "Do you remember that chopper that was on fire?" And he just paused for a while, and he said, "No." You know, that's like asking someone if they remember their house on fire, and he couldn't remember that. Either he's not telling me anything, or he has some problem with his memory still. That part of his Fort Benning formation is, and also the other thing that happened.
Did you find anybody yet? Out of those 1,300 men that remember this?
Yeah, I even contacted the commanding officer of Fort Benning, General Lysy, William J. Lysy.
He talked to you?
I gave him the password. Live ammunition. And he paused for a second, and he says, "I remember you." I said, "Yes, sir." He knew what was going on. I mean, when I talked to him, he must have been in his 80s, but he was sharp. His memory was just fine. There was nothing wrong with when I gave him the password. He knew right away. So he knew what was going on.
Well, what do you think was going on?
Again, I'm still at an impasse. A crossroads. Two things, like I said. One, it could have been a hallucinogen after dinner. They're testing on us with whatever, sound, light, something. And we all had to react on how how the Army wanted us to react on this. Or we definitely saw something in the sky, and it wasn't human.
We are going to take a break, and when we come back, John Vasquez, we're going to ask you to relate some of the dreams and the abduction of going into a craft. And follow up on that part of the story. I thought we should at first address the possibility it was dirty tricks, mushrooms, MK Ultra type thing. But let's talk about the other reality. It might have been something from another world. You still entertain that idea?
It still comes back to me.
Are you leaning toward that?
I'm leaning toward both.
You just don't know, in other words.
Well, yeah. I mean, my memory keeps coming back, and it's telling me this thing, or, you know, Also, it could have been the Army who was, you know, always doing something every day and telling his...
The other thing, have you considered the possibility that maybe it was extraterrestrial and then the mind control took effect later, that they tried to change and put in screen memories or whatever?
Yeah, that's what I'm also entertaining too on this,
yeah.
Is that you know, after this abduction, they came back, and or they, what I'm saying is the Army, decided to go ahead and use a psychiatrist to
make sure you didn't talk about it, and it did work for
you. Oh, yeah, it worked.
It worked for what, from 77 to
89,
12 years.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We'll be right back. Incident at Fort Benning is the name of the book. And John Vasquez is our guest. I'm Jerry Pippin. Tales of the Strange and the Unknown. Every month in Fate Magazine. Fate Magazine has actually been published continuously since 1948. That makes it the longest-running publication of its kind. From psychics and spiritualists, archaeological hotspots and fringe science, to authoritative UFO and paranormal investigations, Fate articles are factual, informative, and entertaining. Subscribe to Fate Magazine today. Simply go to FateMag.com, FateMag.com, or check it out at your local newsstand. Fate Magazine is a favorite for people looking for answers and for people looking for entertainment.
Fate.
Tales of the Strange and the Unknown.
I just talked to a whole bunch of people every day about this, and they're torn between the two things I've been torn between, and it's like a fork in the road or a crossroad. And then they come up with some ideas that, you know, the military could have been trying to repress whatever they can so that we won't remember nothing at all of what happened. But I woke up, I guess, you know, started remembering things.
John Vasquez explaining to us there exactly where he is at the fork of the road, as they say. You do have memories of being aboard a craft.
Yes, sir, I remember that.
Tell me a little bit about that. Tell that to our listeners.
So I, you know, pretty much following directions, kept them closed, and I felt this cover over me. And I know I was being lifted off the ground. It felt like it was getting really light. My whole body was felt light. Like I was
So you're pretty sure you weren't just life flighted someplace by a helicopter?
Yeah, you know, I could have felt the wind or the blade making noises or something, but nothing like that. I just kept, I always felt light, like a marshmallow, real light, and it started floating to this light in the sky or a door in the sky, and then I was heading toward that. The next thing I could hear and remember is that this female, the same voice that I heard earlier, is telling me that we want to know what's going on, and there's something I need to know about. Is that
this female voice was the same voice you heard in your head while you're underneath the...
Yeah, underneath the crawl space.
And it was in your mind more than in your ears.
Yeah, it's in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And she wanted to know what feelings all about. What's this about feelings? And I explained to her there's two types of feelings. There's one that you can put your hands together and rub them together, and that's one of the feelings. Do you feel your hands? That's what I'm saying. She says, yeah. Oh, not that. She said yes or something like this, and then she was sort of, I could feel that she was feeling her hands. And the next one, I asked her to stand in front of a door. Her door, and if she felt anyone behind that door.
Her door, she was standing in front of a door on the craft?
On the craft, and I don't know how far she was, but then I could sense that she was standing right next to me.
And this was a regular humanoid female?
I don't know if a humanoid, but I know it's a female.
And it looked human.
And I asked her if you feel anybody behind this door, and I told her this was the second one about when it comes to feeling things. And And the impression I got from her is that she was elated, like she was really happy to know that this is what feeling's all about. You know, and that's an odd feeling. But I knew that she was in charge of things because I think these other people, these other, I don't know, smaller guys, I think, she was in charge of them. She's telling them to go do this and that.
Smaller guys, but they were humans? Or were they little grays?
Maybe grays. Because...
You say maybe. You're not sure?
Right now, at this time when I'm talking to her, I'm saying maybe grays. Because I didn't see him yet. I didn't see him. All I'm hearing is her. She was in charge of things. She was the boss.
Was she similar to the lieutenant?
I don't think so. I think she's a little bit more taller. And when they took off, I woke up a
little bit. So this was an incredibly beautiful woman.
I don't know. I didn't see her. I didn't get to see her. But then when they took off somewhere, I kind of woke up a little bit. It's like waking up in the morning, my eyes are still kind of closed. Mm-hmm. I woke up a little bit, and I look to my left, and I see rows, like rows of men laying on metal slabs. And when I kind of glanced up a little bit, it's like being in a dome, like a mall. Mm-hmm. When you walk in a mall, you know, the ceiling's really high.
Yeah.
Well, there's rows of men just lying on slabs, and it goes around this bend. And it wasn't just me. There was like hundreds of guys.
Hundreds of people on slabs, so like in a mortuary.
Like a mortuary. And then each one of us.
All on the same level or different story?
Same level.
A warehouse type thing.
Yeah, a warehouse type thing.
Maybe like the food court in the mall.
That's pretty good. But it's like we went through a physical, but each one of us went through a physical like a being on a conveyor belt, one after another, like, okay, this guy's good, this guy's fine, all right? And this is a physical.
And a couple of people were checking you, or some kind of machine was checking you, like an MRI, or what?
There were a bunch of people there.
Bunch of humans.
Humans.
At least you thought they looked like humans.
They looked like humans.
Yeah.
And, we went through all that, and the next thing I remember is that I'm talking to this being, straight in his face, looking at straight at his face, and his eyes was almond-shaped, dark.
Dark eyes, a being like a gray?
Looks like a gray, and like Chinese, his eyes was like a Chinese slant, and it went back to his temple a little bit, and he's looking at me, and I'm looking at him, and he's telling me it's a guy, I know it's male. And he's telling me I need to look in his eyes, and I go, no, because you scare me. I ain't going to look in there. He goes,
she's talking to you verbally?
No.
In your mind?
In my mind. And I'm saying, no, I'm not going to look at you. And he said, you know, it will help you. And I'm going, no, I'm not going to look in your eyes. And I'm thinking, I go, well, you're going to help me. And he goes, yes, just look into my eyes. So I did. And three things popped into my mind.
Yes.
One was I'm standing in the middle of the ocean. I could see miles and miles of just water. I'm standing right in the middle of the ocean somewhere. That was the first image. The second one was I was standing, I guess, in front of a huge viewpoint or a TV set. And I'm watching a planet being destroyed, falling apart. And the third one, the image that came to me, was a humanoid face. Pale, white.
Human.
It had a long face, long nose, skinny nose, like a pencil-shaped mouth, and the eyes were like mercury, and it was wearing a white dressing hat. And I'm looking at him, and whatever it was, a humanoid.
But you couldn't tell if it was male or female?
Just the face. I'm looking at the face. Uh-huh. Pale, white, paste-like face. And that's the last thing I remember. The next thing I remember what happened is that I'm coming through. All of us were back in formation again.
Where were you? This was more or less a dream. You went to bed and this happened, or do you... Give me a little background of how you got to this point.
Well, after I got hit with something on my shoulders, and in my back, we went through all this.
So, I mean, your memory came back from that point. In other words, you've suddenly, 12 years later, remembered.
Not all of it, no.
But you remembered part that they took you aboard a craft.
It took time before I remembered everything that was happening to me. It just, my memory didn't just flood my mind with all the stuff. It just gradually took a time to come about what was going on. And I was talking to a group of people. I was seeing a group of people who was also having problems with abductions. And, you know, I was listening to their story. And gradually I started, helping myself to find out exactly what was going on.
Now, you started remembering this in 89. Not quite 20 years ago. During this time, this 20-year period, two decades almost, have you ran across any of the other people that were there at Fort Benning back in September of 1977, right? That remembered the same thing you remember? I mean, like this part of it?
No, I didn't. I never came across anyone.
So your search is still going on for validation on this?
Everything. I'm talking about everything. Not just the people I've already talked to, who was there, but, I need to find out what happened to the rest. I mean, physically find out what their problem might be.
Have you ever tried to... I don't know if they're available, even medical records from the military. Your medical records?
My medical records I got from...
the VA?
From the veterans.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't request other people's medical records because I don't know their Social Security numbers. But I did try to find out about the paycheck and things like that from... it's in Indiana. They have a huge... record keeping for paychecks.
Yes.
And I asked just for the names. That's all I asked. I didn't ask for their addresses or their telephone number or their Social Security number, but just the names. And the response that I got in writing from them is that they could not release those information to me, even under the Freedom of Information Act.
Okay, we only have a couple of minutes left. What's next for you? What are you going to continue to look? We urge. Do you have a way for people that are listening? There may be somebody listening that this will remind them of that they may have been there at the same time. In other words,
yeah. I mean, there's a lot of people.
I guess they can contact me, and I can contact you, Jerry@jerrypippin.com. Just send me an email, folks. If you have any information about this incident at Fort Benning, You just don't know if it was a mental trick or it was actually an encounter with extraterrestrials.
As far as this, I've come this far, and I'm saying this. All the things I've found point in a direction that something unusual happened at Fort Benning. That's the word I like to use right now. It's something unusual. It wasn't the norm.
Well, we're going to have to leave it at that. Thank you, John, for being on, and we'll be talking to you again soon.
I do really appreciate it, and hopefully everybody see me on YouTube, too, because I'm on that YouTube, and Channel 6 News did a little segment on this story.
They're in San Diego.
And I'm looking forward to the possibility of making a movie out of this, too, because, that's something is not... finished yet. I'm sure there's something more that will come out of this, and people out there are still, I don't know if they remember anything yet, or I still believe that they may be walking around with repressed memories out there.
John, thanks very much, and good luck on your search for reality and what really happened.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much, sir. I do appreciate this, too, and hopefully I can talk to you some more about this.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Incident at Fort Benning's the name of the book. John Vasquez has been our guest. Jane Swartley has been our web producer. Until next time, this is Jerry Pippin thanking you for listening. Cheers. David Sarita.
A retired Air Force colonel once told me that UFOs are more classified than the atomic bomb. More classified than the atomic bomb. Why? Why is anti-gravity and zero-point energy more classified than the atomic bomb? Because the first country, the next country who figures out zero-point energy and anti-gravity is going to be king of airspace on this planet. You know, our F-22s and our fighter wing jets are going to be obsolete technology. I mean, fighters that have to use jet propulsion engines have to make slow banking turns are not going to be able to perform against UFOs or anti-gravity technology that can stop on a dime and turn right at 90 degrees. They're just not going to be able to maintain themselves in a military sense against this type of technology. So this is why UFO technology is more classified than the atomic bomb. This is why the media laughs at this technology, and they're in on this somehow. They don't want you to know, they don't want me to know, that UFOs have crash-landed in our atmosphere and in our planet, and we have retrieved saucers and we have reverse-engineered the technology to find out how these things work.
From Here to Andromeda, a four-hour documentary produced by David Sirita that tells the who, the why, the where, and the how of the UFO story. It's only $25 for a four-hour in-depth documentary. Order now from ShopJerryPippin.com.